So greenwashing is an issue in the super industry, and we respect the work the regulator is doing to ensure that companies are not making claims about their products or services that are false and misleading.
Welcome to The Greener Way, the show about people, planet, and purpose, and how investors and corporate leaders push forward in a complex world. My name is Rose Mary Petrus, Senior Journalist at FS Sustainability. Today, we're going to talk about divesting, stewardship and impact with the Executive Director of Investments at Future Super, a super fund that invests for a fossil-free future with no coal, oil or gas holdings and an ethos rooted in ethical investment with a focus on clean energy and social impact projects. Welcome to the show, Sharon Davis.
Thank you, Rose. It's great to be here.
Could you start off by giving us a little intro into your role and background? What's your story?
I've been with Future Group since June 2022. I'm the Executive Director of Investments, so I look after all things investments. I've come from a long career in investment management in the superannuation sector, and what attracted me to Future Group is just that ethical investment ethos, which we'll talk about today.
So tell us, like, what is the ethical philosophy of Future Super?
Future Group is on a mission to lead the movement to use the power of money to invest, advocate, and campaign for a future we all want to retire into. So our vision is to see all of Australia's retirement savings invested to drive positive social and environmental impacts. And that's a $3.4 trillion pool of capital. So it has muscle. We've spent the last decade providing ethical investment products to people who want to invest their superannuation savings in line with their values. We have a vision that all retirement savings should be invested to drive positive social and environmental impact.
And how does Future Super approach divesting from fossil fuels while at the same time ensuring its fiduciary duty of long-term returns for members?
Yeah, great question. First up, I want to say that these two goals are definitely not mutually exclusive. We have the privilege of looking after people's retirement savings, so we're juggling many components. We need to assess what are the best financial outcomes for our members, how to invest in line with their risk profile, appropriate to their life stage and age, how to protect and grow their capital, provide the returns they desire for the fees they're willing to pay, and in line with their values. But our experience shows that we can satisfy all of those dimensions while not having exposure to harmful activities and industries, and while not exposing our members to risk that, frankly, is right around the corner. And what do I mean by that? The International Energy Agency, to the IPCC, references that fossil fuels are in their sunset years and demand is slowing down. Mm-hmm. And once that happens, everyone who's holding those assets risks significant financial losses. So superannuation is for the long term, and we don't want to expose our investors to that asset risk.
So you've actually found that divesting from fossil fuels does not have a major impact on the long-term returns for members?
In terms of long-term investing in the superannuation sector, we're not chasing short-term market returns. Mm-hmm. The annual relative performance of an ASX portfolio excluding fossil fuels over the period December 2010 to May 2023 outperformed the benchmark by 0.8%. So we don't need to chase cyclical returns by investing in fossil fuels.
That's some great stats. Okay. So talk us through your stewardship approach, for example, proxy voting and engagements. What is your stewardship approach for better ESG outcomes?
At Future Group, we use stewardship tactics like proxy voting, engagements, and campaigns to boost our investment philosophy impact. Mm-hmm. Our approach to stewardship is all the actions we can take as an investor, and even not as an investor, and I'll explain that, to influence companies and their activities. Mm-hmm. So let me break it down into three areas where we can influence for change. Proxy voting. So we vote in favour of resolutions that support better environmental outcomes, and we vote against management when we want to call out poor company behaviour. Mm-hmm. Our fund, Future Super, publishes its voting record. We believe that transparency in voting is crucial. Mm-hmm. We also take part in shareholder resolutions where appropriate. So last year, for example, we partnered with Greenpeace to support a shareholder resolution at the Toyota AGM, calling on that company to disclose any campaigning they do to slow government policy around electric vehicles. So the second stewardship approach that I'll talk about is collaborative engagements. This is one of the areas where we see the most possibility to use our influence as an investor to pressure companies to deliver better outcomes for people and the planet. For example, in the last year, we've taken part in collaborative engagements and joined investor letters on issues such as modern slavery, fair minimum wages, biodiversity, and plastic pollution. And by combining our influence with that of other investors, we can send a strong message that profits shouldn't be at the expense of people or the environment. Then the third area I'd like to highlight is campaigns. Here we go one step further by attempting to put public pressure on companies to improve their behaviours. For example, we were part of a coalition of 13 UNPRI signatories calling for Australian banks to change their fossil fuel lending policies to meet the Paris Agreement. We were able to be part of this action even though Future Super screens out most of the big banks. So back to my point on your ability as an investor to use stewardship tools even when you're not invested in that company or subsector. That action was extremely successful, with Commonwealth Bank announcing new fossil fuel finance restrictions as part of its climate policy as a direct result of that campaign.
That's fascinating. So by collaborating with others, you're able to have impact even when you are not investing in that company yourself.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. Do you ever receive pushback on your stewardship and engagement with companies, and how do you approach that?
All the time. We're persistent. So we know we won't always be successful. And a good example is Tesla. Despite successive engagements we've had with Tesla about their people, their employment practices, we haven't managed to shift their approach. And so the other lever we have at our disposal then is to divest from companies.
So let's discuss impact investing. Why did Future Super decide to invest for impact, and what are your target areas? How do you identify companies for investing for impact?
Yeah, I love this topic. So it's symbiotic that we both move capital away from harmful activities and invest it towards activities that support climate solutions and contribute to redressing social inequalities. Mm-hmm. So in listed markets, our portfolios can apply positive screens to seek exposure to desirable characteristics, for example, strong gender equity practices or carbon efficiency. In unlisted markets, we look for assets that make a meaningful contribution to the transition to a sustainable economy, like renewable energy, climate tech, or sustainable agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Or to building more sustainable communities like social housing. On the climate side, we need to support the transformation of our economy and society to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius per the Paris Agreement. So we think holistically about the systems to achieve that and get behind new projects to facilitate both the mitigation of carbon and the change, the energy change we need. Mm-hmm. And then on this, just around out on this, on impact investing and our thematics on the social side, Indigenous peoples are disproportionately affected by climate change. So this redoubles our efforts to find and fund solutions. And we're supporting well-designed social housing as both the saviour and enabler for people at so many levels by improving outcomes for mental health, social connection, education, and employment. And I love how impact can come together to create both climate and social outcomes.
Can you share some specific examples of how this divestment, stewardship, and impact strategy has created an uplift in ESG outcomes or created some like real outcomes there?
So sure, let me talk about two of our impact investments that we really love and which our members love. The first is Nightingale,
the social housing provider.
Yes. Yeah. So Future Super's investment has lent the power of Members Super to build four new communities on Albion Street in Brunswick, Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
This precinct is called Nightingale Woorawoorabic.
Mm-hmm.
Nightingale makes clear inroads into equality in the property market. When you think about it, affordability, socioeconomic background, and demands on desirable locations are the biggest barriers to home ownership in Australia. So the impact that this project has, it's carbon neutral. The community will be fossil fuel free and powered by solar and certified green power. It's providing sustainable living with communal spaces and access to transport. And it's affordability first. So Nightingale is not for profit. The apartments are sold without profit margins, making each home more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And 20% of Nightingale Woorawoorabic is allocated to registered community housing. And a further 20% of the apartments are reserved for demographics who often find it more difficult to secure property.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great example of how an impact investment in social housing can create financial benefits for our superannuation members, but definite environmental and social impact. So I have one more that I'd love to share, which is Conscious Investment Management's Impact Fund. So Future Super invests into this fund, and recently it helped traditional owners buy back country in southwest Queensland. So the Killili people are returning to country after acquiring the pastoral lease to Tharagaminda Station at auction.
Wow.
And yeah, it's great. And this acquisition was secured through a finance partnership underpinned by carbon farming.
Mm-hmm.
So in partnership with Climate Friendly, the Killili people have gained approval from the Clean Energy Regulator for a carbon farming project on the site. And then Conscious Investment Management provided the financing for the acquisition based on the forecast income from that carbon farming project.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another one that we love.
Amazing projects there. Let's talk about your engagement with members. How does your firm gather and integrate feedback from members to shape its investment strategies and stewardship activities?
We hear from members monthly through regular pulse checks. We have a great tool called Ask Nicely, and I love browsing through it and seeing what members are saying. They share what they like about our investments and the real world impact that they're having on the planet. And they share what they're feeling about their returns and the service that they receive.
Mm-hmm.
We've incorporated a lot of feedback from members on investments such as renewables that they're interested in. And we've taken action on issues that have been raised by our members that they're concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
The unfair working conditions for employees at Tesla that I mentioned before, that was raised by members. And then gender diversity is another one. One of our negative screens came from member feedback. Several years ago, we heard from members that gender diversity on boards was an issue they cared about.
Mm-hmm.
And so we implemented a screen to screen out companies with all male board members as a direct result.
Oh, wow.
And then we love to keep our members engaged in the divestment movement. So we use feedback and communication with our members to raise awareness around protests, for example, Santos, Barossa and Narrabri projects.
Mm-hmm.
Our members love to be connected to those issues. And this is a strong demonstration of how we show that stewardship matters and that stewardship creates results.
Amazing. So let's talk about greenwashing. In 2023, your firm received a fine from ASIC related to green claim allegations. What are the lessons learned and what measures have been implemented to ensure transparency and accountability moving forward?
So let me start out by saying we hold ourselves to a really high standard in how and where we invest. We're super authentic and true to label. That's why our members trust us with their money and we haven't let them down. But in 2019, Future Super published a Facebook post that was missing an important caveat. We self-reported that post to ASIC and then paid the infringement in April 2023. So greenwashing is an issue in the super industry. And we respect the work the regulator is doing to ensure that companies are not making claims about their products or services that are false and misleading.
Mm-hmm.
And this work makes all of us better. It refines what we're doing. It makes it easier for the consumer to evaluate the promises against the proposition. So we love this because it causes the whole industry to mature and evolve. Mm-hmm. And the bar is set high for financial product disclosures, and for good reason. But we want more people to invest in the way that we do and be authentic about it. But we don't want the unintended consequence of them to be spooked by the potential that they'll innocently or accidentally foot fault. So it's the evolution and the disclosure regime, you know, it's really important that we continue to improve it. So what have we put in place? What are the lessons that we've learned and what are the new measures we've put in place? I'm going to plug a tech tool that we've implemented called HAST, H-A-S-S-T, and it has the power to search, monitor, and audit our advertising across all our websites and social media platforms for compliance and marketing risks, given this is a highly regulated environment. So that is working really, really well for us as another check and balance.
Interesting. I'll have to check it out. Okay. What message do you have for others in the industry that might be considering a similar divestment and stewardship approach to yours?
There's four things that I think people can do if they want to put a similar approach in place. And the first is use your voice to advocate for change. As we've been discussing, investors are powerful, that capital is powerful, and so you should exercise your voting rights, turn up to AGMs, put pressure on board directors and the company investor relations team, and you don't have to be an investor to engage with a company. So use your voice would be my first message. And then long-term returns for investors and investing for the planet can be achieved. You don't need to choose one over the other.
Mm-hmm.
This is becoming a mainstream way of investing. It's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Then thirdly, I'd encourage people to steal our stuff. We've got quite progressive policies and practices that reduce inequality in the workplace available on our website, from menstrual and menopausal leave to mental health and gender affirmation support. We're asking impact investors to visit our website, steal them, implement them. We've done the heavy lifting for you. Lastly, we don't have time on our side. We need to transform our economy and society to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees. We don't have all the climate solutions we need in play yet to achieve that. So as investors, we need to back investments and projects and invest capital into technology that will help us transition away from harmful industries. So I'd encourage people to not wait.
Well, thank you. Today, we've been hearing all about divestment, stewardship, impact, and all that good stuff with Sharon Davis, Executive Director of Investments at Future Super. Sharon, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Rose. It was great to be part of the podcast.
I'm Rosemary Petrus, and that's a wrap for today. Tune in next week to hear about degrowth economics and social tipping points with Erin Ramblins, founder of Rebiz.
The Green Away podcast is a product of FS Sustainability, a show about people, the planet, and investing in our collective future. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. The Greener Way podcast gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by discussing numerous financial sustainable options and our featured guests. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of The Greener Way are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the FS Sustainability website, fssustainability.com.au.